Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Joel Williams. Joel is known as the Blog Tech Guy and is an expert on implementing and improving WordPress blogs. He is my technical guru, and I get so many questions about the more technical side of blogging, I thought an interview would help many people. So welcome, Joel.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on the show. So maybe you could start by telling us a bit about yourself and about your business.
Sure. Yeah, I've been doing blogging probably 10 years now. It's probably before it was actually called blogging in the old days, probably 99, I think I started. And so, you know, obviously technology moves on and evolves really quickly. And I ended up setting up a lot of blogs and websites for friends and family and various people. So about 18 months ago, really now, when I just started my business, which is a Blog Tech Guy, started setting up websites for people and small businesses, fixing websites, customizing websites, just basically all the things people want to do to get an online presence. So it's about, as I say, it's about 18 months I've got just over 200 clients now. I was actually just looking before this call, and I'm on just over 500 different projects, so it keeps me out of trouble.
And I know you're very busy, but you know, it's great to find someone you can trust in. You know, there's so many blogging experts out there these days, aren't there? So, okay, so let's just, you know, get back to basics, because I do get many questions about this. So what is a blog specifically, and, you know, why should authors have one?
Yeah, I mean, a blog is just more, there's various ways to describe it. I like to think it just as another means of communication, really. Another way of promoting, you know, your services or what you do or your brand just out to people. It's another marketing channel. I mean, a blog really is just a website. I mean, people often get confused between thinking blogs are something completely different to a normal website, when in fact, really, they're just a website, and it's just blogs traditionally have content on the homepage in chronological order. So, you know, you post an update of what you've been doing or a new product or whatever you want, and that appears at the top of your website. And so it's just really probably started off in the, you know, personal world of, you know, people's hobbies or what people have been doing or posting photographs, which is how, you know, I got started in it. And then it evolved into more of a business tool. I mean, authors are in, you know, a perfect position for blogging, really, as they're already writers. They already know how to write. You know, they probably already have lots of ideas or lots of content they can use. They may even have, you know, audiences already, you know, people who want to go and see what they're doing. And it's a good way of getting a more interaction and more involved with your audience. You know, you can speak to them personally, you can get ideas from them. I've seen it on websites where people post, you know, their book ideas or the first chapter and get feedback and see what people think. So, I mean, a blog is just a website is the short answer to that question.
Mm. You say that, but, you know, some people when they're told, oh, you must have a website, you know, as an author, you should have a website. They then get quoted like, you know, $10,000-$20,000 to create, you know, a static website page. So why is the static website page kind of gone now? And why is a blog style website more important?
Yeah, there's a few reasons, really. One is the cost and the ease of entry of blogging. And the WordPress software I use, which is WordPress.org, and that, incidentally, that can be confused with WordPress.com, which I'll probably talk about later. But the software is actually free, and you can install it on your hosting account, your web host, which is just a computer, just somewhere your website has to be stored. It's just free to get started, really, if you know how to do it. And it has a very easy way of updating, so it's almost like using Word or a word processing tool, just writing your content, you know, formatting it, pressing publish. And in the old days, it was you had to know HTML or had to know some sort of programming language. HTML is just really a formatting language, but you had to know how to write different code to write a bigger headline or put the code into red or add a picture. You had to know how to code. Mm. And then you had to know how to publish it on your website, how to upload it. And there's lots of complications with that. And WordPress and some other blogging software has really simplified that whole process, so people can get started a lot easier and a lot more quickly. And there's great benefits from using WordPress as well, besides the fact that it's a lot easier to write. I mean, the one you were talking about saying they're static websites, and that's really the description of, the old-fashioned websites are static. So when your search engines, Google or Bing, they want to... you want to be found in those search engines, but in the old static website, you had to wait for those search engines to come and visit you.
Mm.
So you put your content on there. You could submit your website and wait for them to come and visit you. But the blogs and a lot of different blogging software, what happens is when you post an update or you write your article or post it, it actually goes out and tells the search engines, this is the URL, this is where my new article is, and please add me to your index. And so, I've literally seen it with clients within 10 minutes have appeared in their search results after publishing a post.
Mm.
And that's just completely different to what it was even maybe 5 years ago, when you used to have to sit there and wait and see if the search engines indexed you, see if, you could find your post online. So that's one of the big advantages. I mean, the two big advantages are that the search engine advantage there, and the fact that you get this visual editor, you can easily make a text bold or make it larger or change the color of it rather than having to know coding or HTML.
Mm. And I just pick up on that because I say you're my tech guy, but we email occasionally, a couple of times during the year. I do my website myself, I do my blog myself, I post videos, pictures, I move small things around, and then I call you if I need something bigger done. And I think that's what the massive difference is between a blog and old style, is that, you don't have to pay for a webmaster to change every single small thing. And I just want the listeners to really grasp that, because it kind of changes the paradigm of having a web presence, because it is so much cheaper. So that is just fantastic.
Yeah, I'm sat here nodding along, actually. it's a very, very good point. I mean, what we do together, it's more the large changes, changing colors or the whole section or moving things around or
the whole theme.
The actual day-to-day thing, it's completely down to someone who doesn't really need much technical knowledge. It helps if they have some, if they want to do certain things, but on a day-to-day basis, you don't really need any at all.
No, exactly. And I also wanted to go back on the search, search engine stuff, because it seems that search engines are moving from, like the old style static things to a more real-time search and also video in search. So, what do you think about that? Is search engine optimization changing?
Yeah, it's changing every day, and you're kind of a little foolish if you try and follow it on a day-to-day basis, because it changes so much. And all these things, as you say, the real-time updates is the big thing. The real-time web is the big thing. So having Twitter results in search engine results, having the time it was published. So when I said that example, my client appeared, within about 10 or 15 minutes, it tells you that that's when it appears. It likes relevant content. It wants content which is about what people are searching for, but the more often you do it, and the quicker you do it, the more likely you are to appear at the top. And that's a great thing. WordPress and blogging software, it has some of the search engine optimization things built in, so you don't have to worry about it too much. There's a couple of things you can do. Authors probably know more about it than me, writing good headlines and writing relevant content and things like that. It's kind of, it is a little, on one hand, it's a bit of a fool's game to try and write for search engines, but you know, on the other hand, it's great that WordPress has all these features built in, so you don't really have to worry about it.
Yeah, and I probably take an extra 2 minutes per post to actually find a few keywords and put it in my SEO section, you know. But sure. Anyway, don't want to get too technical. So let's just talk about the difference between a free blog and what's called a hosted blog. And mm-hmm. How do people get a free blog, and why is a hosted blog advisable, and that type of thing? Maybe you could just explain about that.
Yeah, well, kind of, I mean, a free blog is a hosted blog. There's two types of blog. One is a hosted one on blogger.com or Blogspot, and that's also the same as wordpress.com. That means somebody else is hosting your website for you, so you get a domain name like mydomain.blogger.com or mydomain.wordpress.com, and everything is done for you, so you don't have to worry about technical updates. Everything's hosted online for you. It's just a lot simpler and a lot easier. You can get started in 2 minutes. You can just go to one of those sites and just type in what you want to be blogging about and you're away. And the other way I recommend, and the way you do it, is self-hosted. And self-hosted doesn't mean you have to actually have a web server yourself. It just means you're paying for web hosting from someone. So someone like HostGator or DreamHost, what they do is they host your website for you, but it's called self-hosting. So there's a few advantages with that, and that's the software you get from WordPress.org. And these hosts normally have it built in, so I don't want to get too technical. But the main advantages are you have complete control. I mean, it's your website. You can do exactly whatever you like with it. While on some of these hosted sites, they have restrictions on, you know, commercial activity. You can't install whatever things you like. There's certain restrictions on that you know, again, I don't want to get too technical, but you know, advertising particularly you can't do to a certain degree. It's more complicated to have your own domain name. So for example, the creativepen.com is your domain name. On a hosted site like wordpress.com or blogger.com, it's you have to pay a fee to have a domain. They can switch you off anytime they like, because they're hosting it. If they don't like something you're doing, they could just turn you off. And there's all sorts of technical reasons why having a, you know, a self-hosted WordPress.org site is better. I mean, without going into the details, you just have to probably trust us that it's actually, you know, more beneficial for you.
Yeah, and I would, from my perspective, I would say to anyone who hasn't actually done any blogging, it's probably worth starting off with a free blog, because I had two blogs before the Creative Pen, both of which kind of petered out because they weren't right. I didn't get it right, but I was playing around with various things. And basically, then I moved to having, you know, to self-hosting, which, you know, for people listening, I'm with HostGator. It doesn't cost me that much money per month. And basically, for selling books and selling products and things, you really do need to be self-hosting. So, you know, for most people who want that commercial aspect of having a website, that is necessary. So, and that's, I guess, one of the other reasons, Joel, we're having you on the call. So you have various packages, don't you, if people don't want to do it themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I have a, you know, a complete blog setup package, which is probably my most popular thing. Really, it's just I'll set up, you know, WordPress for people. And the good thing again about having it self-hosted is there's a thing called plugins, which plugins are probably exactly what people think they are. They're just little bits of software or functionality you can add onto your site. So if you want to have a contact form on the site, for example, or you want to have anti-spam, it's quite a common one, or you want to have a video player and you know, or an MP3 player to show podcasts. These are all plugins. So what I do is I set up the blog. I set up all these plugins for everyone, and then I have a couple of hours of time where, you know, we can install a theme, we can add your own logo or header, you can add all these different things just to try and get people started. It can be quite overwhelming, especially if people don't have any experience of, you know, websites or blogs. You know, we talked about it being a lot simpler than it used to be, but it's still not, you know, it's not something you can just pick up if you've got no experience with websites or blogging or anything straight away. And sorry, I think it was a good thing to say, starting on a free a free blog is a very good way to practice. You know, WordPress.com, the interface is almost the same as on, you know, on your self-hosted blog. So if you get used to how you format posts or how they publish or how the whole thing works before you get started properly and, you know, commercially and professionally on your own host, it is a good way to practice.
I think so. And you mentioned a few things there. You mentioned themes. Now, I love the theme aspect, and you can spend hours surfing. Can you just explain themes and also direct people to the best place to have a browse?
Sure. I mean, themes, they're called different things in, you know, different software. They call them templates or skins or your design. I mean, it's just the actual, you know, the look and design of your website. And this is another advantage of, you know, blogging software as opposed to a static website, is you can actually change your theme, change your whole design in just a couple of clicks, really. All the content stays the same, and it just looks different because you're just having a different skin on top of the site. And there are many, many, I think there's a few hundred free themes you can get. I mean, the best place really to start is WordPress.org, and there's a section there called Extend. And if you click on the Extend, there's a link for the theme directory, and you can go through and literally just search for different colours, how many different columns you want, and look at the most popular themes. That's a fantastic way to do it for a free theme. And there's also another couple of websites called wpfreethemes.com, and also confusingly, there's wpthemesfree.com. Well, which are two different websites, but I'd actually just recommend WordPress.org as the main place to find a theme. And you know, you can find, and they're all completely free on there, and you can find any sort of design you would like. And the one thing about free themes is somebody else is going to be using the same one as you have. You know, and again, going back to if you're trying to look more professional or, you know, more commercial, is you might want to get a custom theme designed or have your theme changed. And that, you know, that's what I do part of it. I don't design actual custom themes, but I'll take a free theme and change them. So I change the color, or I'll move the header around, or, you know, I'll change the size of the text, or I'll change the font for people and just try and customize it a little. I mean, it's quick, it's easy. For me, it's quite easy.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I mean, I think that's the point with blogging. And I would say to everyone, it's free, and then it's plus services and plus things that you want to change. So, for example, I started off with a free theme, and then those people who've been following my site for a while have seen it redesigned with a theme that I actually paid for, you know, not very much, but you know, so as you get into it, you do end up paying for some things, but it's generally much, much cheaper than, you know, the old style $20,000 for a website, you know, type of thing. Yeah, okay, I've got loads of questions. Next question. I wanted to ask you to explain RSS, because I don't think many people still understand it, and it's very important to have something on your site. So maybe you could explain RSS and how it integrates with blogs.
Yeah, so RSS, I think it stands for really simple syndication. I'm not 100% sure of that. I think there's some arguments, but it's just essentially a basic what's new file on your website. So every time you publish a post, and in WordPress speak, the post is just like an article you've written on your site. So each time you write something new, this information gets published into a file which you don't see, of just the RSS file. And they call that the feed, so it's a RSS feed. And the advantage of having this is, there's a few different advantages. It's mainly for the reader, so they can access this content, what has appeared new on your website, without actually going to your website. So there's all different sort of feed readers or feed aggregators. Such the one I always use is just Google Reader, which is just google.com/reader. And in there, all you simply do is just put the URL of the website, you know, the domain name of the website you want to read, and it'll store it in there. And then just every time a new article is published on that website, it brings it in to your reader. So you could have 100 different websites in Google Reader, and each time there's a new article, it just gets published into this reader. So to save you having to go to 500 different websites for, you know, 20 different websites. You could just go to one website and get the latest updates through there. And normally people, you know, click, if they find the article interesting, they click on it to go to your website and read more or make a comment. And, you know, there's so many different ways of, you know, reading RSS feeds. You can read it on your, you know, your mobile phone. I don't know if you have any through the Kindle, Joe.
We don't get blogs on the Kindle in Australia, unfortunately.
Ah, okay. No, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you actually have to pay for them in the US. So you have to, which is one way of, you know, a website owner can earn revenue is you get some money from Amazon if you publish your blog on the Kindle. But it's just, there's various different ways. There's all different tools. There's blog lines. There's NewsGator. But Google Reader is the one I use mainly. And it's just really a benefit for the reader rather than... I mean, there are some benefits to the publisher, like yourself, but it's mainly for ease of access for the reader. So, you know, people can read you more easily. They're more likely to read you rather than trying to remember every day to visit your site and see if something new has appeared. They're actually just going to having one place where all the new updates come in. You know, it's difficult for me when I use it every day to try and explain to someone who's never really experienced it what it actually is. All I can say is go to, you know, google.com reader, put in a website that you read every day and see if they have a feed and see how it works.
Yeah, I think that's, and I'll probably do a video on it. I think that's what I'll try and do, because, and for people listening on my site, in the top, well, most people's sites in the top right-hand corner, where there's, you know, like the orange button with the little lines on. It's hard to explain over audio, but you can click that and it'll give you a feed. And I guess for authors and for people who have a blog, the benefit is that you see how many people have subscribed to your site. So you get a feeling of, you know, there might be 1,000 people reading my site today. So I better make sure it's pretty good.
No, exactly. I mean, it's one of the, I tend to use it just really as an indicator of how your site's progressing. So you may start out with two RSS readers, one of them being yourself. And then, you know, it builds up and you can just track over time how much this is building up. So as you say, when you suddenly see you've got, you know, 500 or 1,000 people reading it, you think, you know, you can see you're progressing and you've got a lot of readers and you've got good content and you're doing the right thing, really.
No, that's great. Excellent. Well, I also wanted to ask you, you know, with your vast experience with all these clients and all these blogs, do you have any sort of top tips for blogs or for blogging in general?
Yeah, I mean, there's hundreds of articles you'll find online.
Yeah.
Now, I just like to stick with the basics, really. Again, you know, what you were talking about, good headlines, and authors are probably great for writing good headlines, but something which, you know, we have so much information in today's world, all coming in at once. You essentially just skim read, so if you see a great headline, you'll go to it. I like people to have pictures in each post, so each article. I like people to have one picture, just because it makes your site look so much better and has a picture in there. I mean, it's a very visual medium to a degree. I know there's a lot of text on the web and we're talking about writing and things. There's a very visual medium as well, and just having even a small picture, or just having one picture per article, or even if it's a video, you know, or just something to have in there to break up the text a little. It makes a massive difference on how people see your site. And then the only other thing I would just say, make it easy for, you know, people to promote your work or send it out. So, you know, having the retweet button on there, you know, social bookmarking buttons, so people can tweet out that they're reading a good post. I had a conversation with someone yesterday who only tweets out about posts that they have the retweet button on their website. And again, this is probably getting a little technical for people using Twitter and things like that, but just making it possible for other people, even if you don't use it yourself, you know, to promote via Dig or Delicious or others, just social bookmarking, just make it really easy for someone just to say, I like that, click on it, and then it gets sent out and promoted to other people. Just if you can make it as easy for other people, you're doing a lot of the hard work up front, and, you know, other people doing the hard work for you, really.
No, that's great. And a couple of things off of that is one on pictures on each post. I didn't realise that when I first started blogging. I didn't realise that that was important. And just for people who don't know, you can get free pictures at Flickr using the Creative Commons area. So I'll put a note about that in the show notes. But that's really important because otherwise you sit there thinking, I don't know what pictures to put on here.
Sure, yeah, I know. And there's another site I use, Stock Exchange, which is SXC.HU, and that's just they have a lot of free and paid for pictures, but they have a lot of free pictures which don't have any real restrictions on just using them in blog posts. They have the license written on them if they need notification or they need an attribution or anything like that. But normally it's just a stock of photos, so you can search for keyboard or search for pen. And just grab a free image from there and just put it on your site.
Exactly. So that's not actually very difficult. And the other thing I would say is I do, because I, on Twitter, I tweet other people's links quite a lot. Mm-hmm. I now literally won't tweet people's links if they don't have a Twitter ID that's obvious on their homepage. Because if I want to tweet something, I need to attribute it to somebody, and if I can't find their ID, I just won't put it out there. So I totally agree with your third point there. Yeah, it is interesting, but for my, because I do quite a lot of it, I just don't do it if people don't make it obvious. So that would be the other thing. Make your social networking contacts very obvious from your homepage.
Yeah, great.
Fantastic. Okay, well, look, we're out of time. So just to finish up, how can people get in contact with you and what are the other things that you offer if people are interested in what you do?
Yeah, you can just go via my website, which I think is linked through, if you go to blogsforauthors.com, which I think goes through one of your sites. And so that just goes to me, and there's a contact form on my site, on the Blog Tech Guy site. So just email me in the contact form is the best way. I get a lot of emails a day, but I also try and get back to people within about 48 hours. And as I said, I have the custom blog setup, which is the most expensive package I have, but it's still, compared to previous ways of building websites, it's still very cheap, and that'll just get all the setup done for you.
That's like $300 or something, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah, US. Yeah, so it's $297, and that doesn't include the web hosting we talked about or the domain name, but they're really cheap, and I do often tell people how to do that or help them do it or set them up for them, but it just not included in the price. And then, I work on a per hour basis of people just, say, I want this color changed. I want this moved over here. I really like this theme, but it's the wrong color, or I want the column on the left rather than the right. Or, that's, I spend probably 3/4 of my day changing people's websites and altering them. Because as we said before, it's so easy to get started and so easy to get your site set up. You soon notice that actually I'd prefer it if that wasn't there, or I have this message here, or this popped up over here, or I changed my logo. So that's why I exist, just to try and help people realize their website the way that they want it to work.
And absolutely. And I highly recommend you. And in this world of so many technical gurus around there, it's really good to have someone to trust. So I'm very grateful for your help.
Thank you very much.
No, it's great. And okay, well, thank you ever so much for your time, Joel. That was brilliant.
No, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!